Thank you, everyone, for your practice today and your ongoing practice. Your awakening moment by moment helps us all. The title for today's talk, Special Challenges of Practicing Meditation with an Aging Brain. Now, we're all aging, so we're all in that category. However, those of you who are a bit younger, you can listen in and there might be something of value. You never know. It also might help you to maybe understand older people in your families and among your friends. But recently it's been a topic of conversation with meeting with students one-on-one, and I know it's been a study of mine personally, using myself as guinea pig. How do I carry this on at the age of 70? So we have a koan that is can provide some guidance for all of us in this typical koan style, which may seem mysterious and obscure a bit concise. So I'll use that as a starting point and then launch into this talk. This is the eighth gate in our Kongan collection from the Wumen Quan, famous Kongan, titled Taishan Carrying His Bowls. One day, Taishan came into the Dharma room carrying his bowls. Shui Feng, the housemaster, said, "Old master, the bell has not yet been rung and the bell drum has not yet been struck. Where are you going carrying your bowls?" Taishan returned immediately to the master's room. Shui Feng told Yan Tao, the head monk. Yan Tao said, "Taishan, great as he is, does not yet understand the last word." Taishan heard about this and sent for Yan Tao. "Do you not approve of me?" he demanded. Then Yan Tao whispered something in the master's ear. Taishan was relieved. The next day on the rostrum, making his Dharma speech, Taishan was really different from before. Yan Tao went to the front of the Dharma room, laughed loudly, clapped his hands, and said, "Great joy. The old master has understood the last word. From now on, no one can check him." A bit of a note about Taishan is that he was quite old at that time. This has some bearing on the activity, the drama that ensued in the Sangha. But let's take a step back from that story for a minute and just talk about this old person's mind, old person's brain. I know from my personal experience that my processing speed is a lot slower. In the Harvard Medical School, in an article I read, there's this natural loss of receptors and neurons that occurs with aging. It can also make it harder to concentrate and focus. I think we know what that feels like. Even the aches and pains that we experience in our aging process can affect our ability to focus. Pain is distracting, and some of the medications used to treat it can also affect concentration. So in our practice, we have a clear procedure, let go, become clear. Then it's possible to see the truth. So this is kind of a big recognition truth item for those of us that are aging, that are getting older. We have to see this natural process, acknowledge it. From that place of acknowledgement, of clear seeing, then we can function fittingly, appropriately. So I'll start off with talking about some of the observed biggest challenges. Lack of focus, attention, our attention span in general is not as strong as it used to be. You know, I'll share with you just quite openly, my practice for these 45 years, whatever it's been, a long time, has been the Great Dharani. And this is a fairly lengthy chant. It takes 5 minutes for us to get through it when we chant it together. When I was young and doing this practice internally, doing this chant, one round through in a minute, you know, just guess what? Can't do that anymore. Not even close. In fact, I lose my way quite often and start again. That doesn't matter, really. The important part is it's not the speed, it's not the tempo, it's not a race, it's coming back. It's just coming back. Trying harder may worsen the results. This is an important point. We have in our minds an idea that you know, we would like to be able, we are trying to be able to do what we used to do, but we're Zen students. We have to reside right here, right now, with these conditions and this relationship to this situation. So adjustments need to be made. Trying harder is a kind of leaning practice where we therefore lose our center, lose our balance. On the other hand, not trying at all is falling into blankness. So as we often say, there is an edge of energetic practice that we still need to engage in. Trying harder in a younger body can be fitting. I know that Zen Master Sungsan, he would talk about why we would get up at 4:30 every morning, do 108 bows and chant for an hour and a half and sit for an hour and a half, repeat again in the evening, do that every day and have daily, you know, also work lives. He said it was to wear out this energetic mind. We have to wear it out so that we can rest in openness, finally. But for a young person's mind, you have this energy and you can channel it to the practice. And then use that energy to awaken. So it's wonderful if you can start Zen when you're young, but it's also wonderful if you can start when you're old too, because in fact, there is already, you've been around the block a few times, you've seen life, and you're already somewhat worn out. This is not so bad in some ways. So you can then rest in openness more easily. There is life wisdom that has accrued. And that's to our benefit, and we can appreciate that. Always the bigger challenge is to adjust and change, to be willing and able to change according to circumstance. What does this entail? I firmly believe that it entails a little bit, no small amount, of humor, of a sense of lightness, Look at this. You know, look at this. What a merry-go-round. What a wild ride. How lucky am I to be alive in this moment? A little humility goes a long way. One of the things that we accrue along with wisdom through aging and having lived through so much, we may also achieve a certain amount of expertise. Some of that we need to let go of. And find again a beginner's mind, truly. Humility, humility and humor can really go together and help each other. In my experimental model of aging, we had this precept ceremony recently that many of you are at, and my vision is one of the things that's the first to be falling apart. I'm reading the precept's name for Susanna, and I read pure silliness. So wait a minute, no, that's not what it says. Pure stillness. And so this humility can be light, is my point. Just see it. Like everything else that appears, we can hold it with some lightness. The other thing that goes along with that is honesty. Again, it's that it takes great courage simply to see clearly. One thing that can help us to see clearly is look always at our energy. If there is this defensive, disturbed energy that is rallying behind to some kind of defense, in our practice, we can just step back a little bit. Step back. Let go, let go, let go. Just see. Just see. It's okay. So what happened in this koan? Taishan goes into the Dharma room carrying his bowls, but the signals, you know, the bell had not been rung, the drum had not yet been struck. So the house master is calling up, where are you going? Where are you going? It's not time yet. Taishan, you know, a great master, somewhat elderly, gets confused. Maybe it's a safe phasing thing that he's doing to just whip around on his heels and go back. It's like retreat, retreat. But that kind of evasion caused a lot of problems. Gossip, yeah, what is this? You know, our old master, he doesn't understand the last word. And the word spreads quickly, gets back to the boss, Taishan, and he's hurt, he's offended, his energy is stirred up about it. It turns into a bit of a nightmare for everyone, for this simple little thing. Simple little thing. So it's not about, you know, oh, wrong or right, but just stopping, pausing. What is the situation? What is my relationship to it? And responding freely. Zen means, essentially, that you can teach an old dog new tricks. because that's what we're all doing all the time. The new tricks are the same as the first ones. Begin again. Beginner's mind. Somehow, as we age, we think we've got it covered. We've figured it out. We know the drill. We may know the forms, but still, we begin again. This is very important. I have a title in our Zen lineage, Zen Master. I'll tell you what that means. It means I'm good at beginning again. It means I'm good at beginning. That's all. I like to begin again. This is how I have an entire life ahead of me. So I've been kind of hinting at some of our the biggest assets of having an aging brain, but I'll highlight them a little now. I heard, was talking to one of our older students recently, and I'm going to quote her because it was so magnificent what she said. She said, "Kindness comes a lot easier now that I've been browbeaten by life." Kindness comes a lot easier now that I've been browbeaten by life. That's a beautiful thing. I have to say, it doesn't always go that way. People get beaten up and they get hard and mean. And it can go kind of one way or another. It can lean in one direction or another. So we can, again, watch our own energy as we're growing up. Watch us, how we are. Are we hardening or softening? It was interesting for me to watch my parents age in their declining years. What a term, I don't like that. I think I'll switch it out for something else. In their last years in the bodies that they had. They were both, you've heard me talk about them many times, they're both pretty amazing people. They're both kind of dragon personalities, very powerful people, very insightful and creative. But as they took these two different paths as they aged, one became hardened. And towards the end of her life, she had cut off so many people in her life, so many ideas, so many, one of her final convictions was that she hated humanity. It's kind of hard. She didn't want us with her in her last week, but we came anyway. On the other hand, my father, who had something of a pretty strong temper when he was young, softened and relaxed. Someone who is a pretty tough parent became, like a child with his grandchildren. And needless to say, in his last part of life, he was surrounded by people. Literally surrounded. So, this is an important to recognize that resting in openness to the totality of present moment awareness, we can create this space for compassion and understanding of ourselves, of our own karma. It's okay for other people. It's okay. We're all growing here. We're all changing here. None of us knows what the hell we're doing. But we're making this attempt to awaken in this moment, all of us. We have a capacity as Zen students, while our world, our physical mobility gets smaller and more confined, we have a capacity to go big internally, to go very big. Expand the borders of selfhood. Expand the borders of I. Some of you know I've recommended these maybe poetic, but nevertheless practical guidelines for meditation, focusing technique, designed to really help us expand the border of selfhood. First one, relax your eyelashes. And you might say, oh, wait a minute, my eyelashes are dead. They're not really me or something, but try it. There's something there. Try it. We can extend ourselves. Another point of practice. We're always thinking about centering ourselves, getting into that sweet spot in our posture where everything is on center. In this expansive practice of, going big internally, practice centering the space around you. Practice centering the space that surrounds you. And while you're at it, balance the cosmos at the crown of your head. Done. Not hard. Practice, regardless of what age or situation we're in, is necessary, I feel. As you've heard, in terms of physical exercise, especially for those who are aging, use it or lose it, right? So there is an adjustment to be made, though, in our aging bodies and brains. And I'll share with you some things that I have been trying, and maybe you can consider them or do some experimenting of your own. While our physical abilities may be somewhat diminished, we can always rely on our physicality to find focus. This goes back to the earliest teachings of Buddhism. We say, just seeing is Buddha nature. Just seeing, without subject, without object, just the act of seeing. Even for someone like me who has double vision, just see double. Just see. It's okay. Just hear. Why is it that we try so hard to use our minds to fix our minds, and we've forgotten about these senses? In Buddhism, there are six senses. seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling, did I say that? And thinking. Thinking is the sixth sense. We rely, as we all know, a bit heavily on that last one. But we can use the other senses to help us to focus. We don't have to try so hard. I'll share another favorite story of mine from the Sangha, and it's one that I've shared many times. Let's see, is Sean with us online? He is. Sean, I'm going to call up your grandfather again. Hope you don't mind. It's one of my favorite stories. And I may not remember it exactly, Sean, but it goes something like this. Sean was visiting family, and his grandfather was there. And Sean asked him, tell me, you've been alive for a long time. The world when you were a young man and the world as it is now, is it much different? And his grandfather looks up at the sky and says, "Nice blue sky today." I don't know, maybe he was hard of hearing, or he was already a Zen master, or both. But this is using all the gifts that we need, all the gifts that we have that are right here. It's not second rate, it's not less than anything else. We read this in our Buddhist literature, but we don't quite believe it often. Believe it, trust it, trust it. Just listen, just see. I find that touch in particular is a sense that can really ground our mind and heart. You know, Zen Master Tsungsan, he always practiced with a mala. A mala is that, you know, beaded bracelet or necklace, and it can be used in this to count breath, to count mantras if you're doing mantra practice. But the physicality of feeling the beads as they pass through your hands can help you enormously in your focus. Again, it's hard to use the mind alone to fix, in quotes, the mind. Use your other senses. So for me, as a sculptor, as someone who works with clay, there is a lot of trained sensitivity in touch, but we all have that. And we could develop it for the rest of our lives. We could develop that sense of touch, the intelligence within our fingertips. Another asset that we have with our aging brains, and this is referencing that story of Seth, Sean's grandfather, is that we have a capacity now to bear witness. I think that sometimes where we can lose our way is that we have, through our younger years, been in such a mode of productivity, of achievement, of fixing bugs. My husband used to be a computer guy, and so I heard that term. I don't really know what it means, but some of you know. we've just been in such a, you know, achievement mode. We can shift our orientation. Somebody needs to bear witness. Actually, we all do. But this is something we can take on through the whatever the mix is that we are. You know, as a photographer, this is a way to bear witness with the artistry, the whole artistry of who you are and where you've been and what you've come from. For someone else, it could be just a walk down the aisle in the grocery store, and you, as someone who has been practicing awareness, can see what's going on and be there energetically to bear witness. Bearing witness is it's already a functionality. In that pivotal moment in the grocery store, with the behind the lens, behind the camera lens, we can find just the right thing to do next. Anyway, that these practice suggestions, experiments, there are a few others that I'd like to mention. And I realize this is not going to allow much time for conversation, but I'm going to take up the space. For those of you who have a hard time doing seated meditation, really hard time focusing, give yourself permission at home to do walking meditation, to do physical activity meditation, but take it on with that kind of dedication. Why not? It doesn't have to look the same now as it did then. Just as what we recommend for brand new students, I would recommend for older practitioners. Consistency is more important than quantity of time. So sitting a little bit every day, if that's what you can manage, then do that, rather than trying to, you know, force yourself to sit maybe for half an hour when if it's too much. Okay. If you can practice a little bit in the beginning of every day, then you've set the wheels in motion for continuing that practice in all the ways that you are active during the day. Another thing that can help with focus is to sit with others. It's to be with others. Lean on others. There's tremendous benefit and support in Sangha. So whether you're sitting with others online or in person, to be with others is very supportive. And you can feel palpably the energy of the shared practice. It's like we're all on this chain, you've just hitched a ride and the going's a little easier with others there beside you. And finally, in conversation with others and looking at my own practice, this difficulty of focusing, some of us may have been used to doing Shikantaza practice, and this is a practice of just sitting without any focusing aid of counting breath or mantra practice, just sitting and letting things flow. I think in my experimental model of this, it's a little harder to pull off with an aging brain. What formerly might have been relaxing becomes kind of scattered thinking. There's just kind of we kind of get lost up there. In a way, it's that kind of falling on the side of blankness rather than that energetic practice that we would like to embody. Again, consider, instead of shikantaza, consider using a mala. That's a possibility. Using a breath mantra. For beginners, we often suggest this breathing mantra. As you breathe in, clear mind, clear mind, clear mind. Exhale, one long, don't know. Or what is this? Those of us that have been practicing for decades, try it again. Come back. Come back. So in summation, I would just say, devote yourself to being alive, to experimenting with kindness and energy. Just listen, just hear, just respond. Thank you for listening, and I hope that it will find some benefit.